Would you remain standing, please, for the reading of the gospel? I'm reading today from the books of the Bible, the version of the scriptures that we're using in our community Bible experience. And so if that's what you have with you today, turn to page 39. And if you've got your ordinary sort of Bible, you can turn to Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." Praise to you, Lord Christ, for the reading of your word. Look inside yourself. As we watch a television show or movie, Beth and I have gotten pretty good at predicting when that line or something like it is about to be spoken. Mufasa said it to Simba in The Lion King back in 1994, and Judy said it to, and I haven't seen that film, but I found it online, Judy said it in Zootopia this year. Variations include look within, believe in yourself, trust your heart. And it's pretty much standard advice from Hollywood to anyone who's struggling through difficulties. Look inside yourself. You might think Jesus offered the same kind of advice to those who asked him about the kingdom of God. They should quit looking for any visible or tangible manifestation of what God is doing and look within themselves to find him at work. You'd think that because the King James Version, which is wonderful, a wonderful version, but the King James Version and others translated the end of Luke 17:22, "The kingdom of God is within you." But that's a bad translation and bad theology and oftentimes bad advice. I'm talking about these two brief verses today because what Jesus really said about the kingdom is a great summary and entry into the whole message of Luke's gospel. Many of you just read Luke's story of Jesus' life from conception to ascension during our first week of the community Bible experience. And I honestly found selecting something to preach about from all of that pretty daunting, and I changed my mind actually a couple of times before I settled here. One reason for this choice is that these two verses are unique to Luke. Mark's gospel is more focused on the topic of the kingdom of God. But only Luke has Jesus saying that the kingdom is in your midst. Overall, God's kingdom is a huge part of what Jesus talked about. And in Luke, even in Luke, Jesus mentions it at least a dozen times. In Luke 4:43, which is on page 13 in the books of the Bible, he says that the subject of his preaching, the good news, the gospel, is the kingdom of God. So let's get clear about it. Verse 20 shows us one aspect of the subject of God's kingdom in Jesus' time. People were expecting it. After centuries of being under foreign rule, starting with Babylon and then Persia, then Greece, then finally Rome, Jewish people constantly thought about and looked forward to the day when God would give them back their own kingdom. That's what the Pharisees meant when they asked when the kingdom of God would come. Jesus' reply shows a major disconnect then between what people generally expected about God's kingdom and what he taught about the kingdom. He said the kingdom of God does not come visibly. It's not something you're just going to observe arriving. Think of what will happen in January after our presidential election. You could really go a long way, but someone new will move into the White House, that's for sure, and start redecorating and moving around the furniture. A whole different set of people will be selected to form the president's cabinet and administration. New policies will be enacted and balances of power will shift and the stock market may go up or down. Everyone will be able to observe the fact that a new government's in place. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is not quite like that. It will often go unnoticed and you won't be able to locate it. Here it is or there it is in some government building. It was not easy to understand then what Jesus meant. The Pharisees didn't get it, and it's clear that the disciples too didn't get it. When you read the beginning of Acts tomorrow, if you're doing the community Bible experience, you'll find the disciples asking the same sort of question the Pharisees did. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? It is still not easy to understand what the kingdom of God is. That's why verse 21 has been so often poorly translated and interpreted. The words which mean among you or in your midst can mean within you. Some Christians thought that made sense. They thought that's why the kingdom is not observable, not visible. It's inside us, hidden, a spiritual kind of thing. And that idea has influenced modern Christianity a lot. But notice what it means. If the kingdom of God is within us, within you, then it's a matter of your heart. God comes and lives inside you and reigns over your heart and mind. His primary purpose is to change how you think and feel. Your faith is not really about how things are going in the world around you. It's about experiencing things like love and peace and joy and hope in your own heart and mind, regardless of what is happening in the world around you. My guess is that you might think that all sounds okay. You might even be nodding your head and mentally saying, yes, that's what trusting Jesus is about for me. I want a faith that gives me an inner anchor and calm that holds steady regardless of what literal or metaphorical hurricanes might blow up around me. I want God to reign over my thoughts and my feelings and make me good and peaceful on the inside. I want His kingdom to come in me. And some of our praise songs and hymns express sentiments like that. Reign in me, we sing, or now rule in every heart, the old hymn says, and so on. Think, though, if the kingdom of God is just inside us, that's a bit worrisome. Where is the kingdom of God when we're not feeling like that inside? Where is the kingdom of God when you're having a really bad day and you're just ticked off at everything and everybody? Where is the kingdom of God when your kids are sick and you wake up with a sore throat too and your spouse is not being much help? Where is the kingdom of God when you don't feel at all loving or peaceful or hopeful or any of that? Where is the kingdom of God when you're at your worst, when you're being a total jerk? Let us thank God that Jesus did not really tell us that the kingdom of God is inside us. Back to our text, notice to whom he was talking. It wasn't the disciples, it was the Pharisees. Now, if you've noticed anything in your reading over the last few days, you've probably noticed that in Luke, Jesus is pretty angry with the religious establishment, as John observed in our discussion Friday morning. On page 29 in chapter 11, you find Jesus condemning them for being lousy on the inside. The Pharisees put on this great external show, like ceremonially cleaning their dishes and giving tithes, but being full of filth and greed and pride within. It's kind of a stretch then to imagine Jesus turning around and saying the kingdom was inside those guys. What's more, nowhere else in the Bible do we read anything about the kingdom being inside us. Instead, the focus is on us being inside the kingdom. The kingdom does not enter us. We need to enter it. On page 33, chapter 13, Jesus said that not everyone was going to get into the kingdom. And then turn over to page 40, just past our text, and Jesus says you need to become like little children in order to enter God's kingdom. The kingdom is something we want to be a part of. It's not meant to be a part of us. Next, notice what question Jesus was answering. When is the kingdom of God coming, is what the Pharisees asked. If Jesus said that it is inside you, that's an answer about where the kingdom of God will show up, not when it will arrive. But Jesus wasn't playing politician here, evading a question. He didn't want to answer by answering a different question. He answered the question. When Jesus said the kingdom of God is in your midst, he told them when it would arrive by saying that it was already right here. It's right here among you now. That's when it will arrive, and you're not seeing it. A correct translation, the kingdom of God is in your midst, the kingdom of God is among you, puts God's kingdom exactly when and where Luke has been showing it to be all through his gospel story. The kingdom arrived when the angel told Mary that her baby would reign over the people of Israel and his kingdom will never end. The kingdom was showing up when Jesus gave poor people good news and healed the sick and cast out demons by divine authority. The kingdom was at work when tax collectors and sinners accepted what Jesus said, but Pharisees and experts of the law rejected it. God's kingdom was in evidence when Jesus forgave sins and people wondered where he got the authority to do that. When is a king a king? When people do what he says. That's the essence of having a kingdom. Being able to express your will if you're the king and have it done. And that's exactly what we pray in the Lord's Prayer about God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's not two different requests. It's the same one. That God will rule over this world by the fact that his will is being done. And so as Jesus stood there talking to those Pharisees, surrounded by his disciples and probably a crowd of other people, I ask you, where was God's will being done? Or to give you a hint, who was doing God's will? Jesus, right, exactly, you got it. Jesus was the one, more than anyone ever had or ever will, doing what God wanted with perfect intention and obedience. And so where was the kingdom of God? Where was God totally and completely reigning over human life? Very good. In Jesus himself. Jesus is where the kingdom was. At that moment, you could say Jesus was the kingdom. A long time ago, I fell in love with the fancy theological Greek word, the autobasileia. Basileia in Greek is kingdom. And so the autobasileia is a self-kingdom. Just like something automatic is something that runs by itself, Jesus is the kingdom of God in himself, the autobasileia, the kingdom of God appearing in person. And he was in their midst. And that is good news for anyone who will accept it. Jesus brought the kingdom to us in himself and invited us into it and made it possible for us to enter. He was like a foreign ambassador for that kingdom. An ambassador carries the sovereign authority of the nation being represented. That's a plot point in a number of cop shows I've watched. You know, a foreign diplomat commits a crime on American soil, but is protected by diplomatic immunity, which essentially says that person is subject only to the laws of the country he or she came from. As ambassador of the kingdom of God, Jesus carried in himself the law and sovereignty of God's kingdom. And he came to grant a visa to anyone who wants to enter and join him in that country. The kingdom of God is not within you. That would be bad news. As the hymn we sang a few minutes ago said, I look not inward, for that would make me wretched. Nothing I see there save failures and shortcomings and weak endeavors crumbling into dust. That's where we're going to be if we try to find God's kingdom in our hearts, in our minds, in our own lives. Like our text, though, the hymn points us in the right direction. But I look up into the face of Jesus, for there my heart can rest, my fears are stilled. Lots of modern Christians are Pharisees turned inside out. The Pharisees thought the kingdom of God was some sort of external arrangement, a matter of obeying rules or performing rituals, a matter of who was governing their country. They were looking all around them for God's kingdom. Too many Christians now have inverted that mistake and are looking inside themselves, trying to find the kingdom of God in their hearts. And as long as they've got that internal, personal, private relationship with Jesus going, they can be anything they want, do anything they please on the outside. Both directions are wrong. The kingdom is not out there in the distance, and it's not in there in some hidden corner of our souls. Just like them, Jesus is in our midst and he is the living presence of the kingdom. We have to quit looking inside for something else or looking around for someone else. Look straight into Jesus' face. Enter into his life and you will find yourself in the kingdom of God. You will discover it in your midst, among you, right now. In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien tells how the fellowship of men, elves, dwarves, and hobbits needed to pass through the ancient underground dwarf kingdom of Moria. It was guarded by a stone door set in the side of a mountain. And by Gandalf's wizardry, they read the directions printed on the door. "Speak, friend, and enter." And it seemed clear then that all they needed was to say the password and the stone gate would swing open. Gandalf thought it would be easy, so he started rattling off all the elvish magic words for opening doors that he knew, and that was a lot. Nothing worked. After hours of frustration, he just shouts the word for open and beats on the door with his staff. Only as the wolves begin to howl behind them did it finally come to him, and the word he spoke was the elvish word melon, which means friend. It wasn't a secret at all. The directions were written there completely on the door. Speak, friend, and enter. It's the same for entering the kingdom of God. We try all sorts of wrong ways, looking to politics or education or entertainment to make our world and ourselves right. We delve into our hearts and minds, thinking that with just the right mental exercise or the proper attitude, we can become what we want to be. But Jesus, here in the Gospel of Luke, teaches us that the way into his kingdom is to come like a little child and call Jesus your friend. Look at him to see where the kingdom is and how to enter it. That's why we're reading the New Testament together this fall. An old covenant church document says that when we read the Bible properly together, we find it, the Bible, an altar where we meet the Lord. That's the point of Bible reading and discussion. It's not first and foremost about improving our understanding or figuring out God's plan or anything like that. That's the sort of thing the Pharisees were interested in. Instead, we want to meet and get to know Jesus, to enter more deeply into the sphere of his activity, enter into his kingdom. There's a lot more to say about the kingdom of God. As Luke starts his next book, the book of Acts, which we'll read this week, he tells us that after rising from the dead for his last 40 days on earth, Jesus taught the disciples about the kingdom of God. There was a lot to say. We have much to learn. How do the governments of this world relate to God's government? What does it mean to live with God as king, to do His will in various circumstances? How are we in His kingdom at work or at home or at school? How do you follow your King when you're changing a diaper or writing a report or filling out a ballot? How do we live as citizens of the kingdom of God in priority over whatever other citizenship we might have? Some of our questions about those kind of things will not have complete answers. And we might again ask, when will the kingdom of God be finished? When, as the last book of the Bible says, will the kingdom of this world become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ? When will we enter totally and absolutely into God's kingdom and reign with Jesus forever? Over and over, Jesus gives the kind of answer He gives in the verses that follow right after today's text, which simply mean no one but God knows the answer to that question. What we do know is that we approach and enter the kingdom through Jesus Christ. His life is the perfect example of a life lived fully in the will of God. When we share the good news and welcome little children, or feed the hungry, or heal the sick, and sacrifice ourselves for others like Jesus did, then we too are living in His kingdom. It's not just something inside us. It's in our midst and all around us right now, even as we offer praise to our King. Let's learn together what it means to be kingdom people. Amen.